Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun. Follow the Utah Grizzlies on Facebook for the latest on weekend home games, or visit utahgrizzlies.com for more. Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun.
I'm Alex Cragen, writer and copy editor for Slug, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, lifestyle, arts, and events. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Michael Schultz from Five Starving Artists about their organization, as well as Rob Reinsert from the band The Weekenders, who are participating in the project themselves. What is exactly is the Five Starving Artists organization?
Well, it's a program that we're launching, and there's really two main goals for this program. The first goal is we want to help non-mainstream musicians reach a larger audience. Today's music industry is pretty stacked against them, So we want to create a mechanism for spreading their music. And at the same time, we also want to raise money for charity. So there's really two main reasons for why we're doing this.
So how did you guys come up with the idea exactly?
Well, actually, originally came up with the idea. I was on a road trip down to Grand Junction with my wife. You know, we started by listening to the radio, and you go through your classic rock songs where you've got the steady rotation of Led Zeppelin and Aerosmith and bands like that. And eventually we got out of radio service, so we switched to my iPod, put it on shuffle, and had a lot of the same. And eventually a song came on from a band back in Virginia. I used to live in Virginia for a while, and there was a local band back there. They're pretty well known now, but they were local at the time, called Carbon Leaf. And I just remembered how great that band was, and you'll never really hear them on the radio. So it kind of got me wondering, what kind of bands are there around Salt Lake City? So I started looking around this area, and it took me a while to find some really good bands, but we've got some that I was able to find. But I figured there had to be a better way, and we wanted to create a way to get some real exposure for these bands. We thought it'd be great to have a platform where basically you sign up and the bands come to you.
Okay.
So at the same time, we wanted to add some kind of charitable aspect. We thought if we're going to be helping out, trying to spread the word from these non-mainstream musicians, we might as well try to do some other good with the program if we can. So we added in the charity aspect.
Okay. So is it like a monthly subscription rate, or is it per song or per album sort of?
Yeah, so there's no subscription at this time. The way we're setting it up is we're going to have just a weekly distribution where there's going to be five bands featured each week. Pay for the songs that you like, basically. There's no subscription for signing up. It's completely free for everyone to join, including bands. And we're limiting it to five. We're capping it at five bands per week. We think that's important because a lot of music sites, you go on there and for instance, I don't know if you're familiar, Pure Volume is a pretty well-known site.
I am.
And I've used it to find some local music in the past because anyone can upload anything they want there. So when I started looking around for local musicians, the first thing I did was went on that site. And just within a 10-mile radius of your office here, in the zip code, there's 3,376 bands.
So not a lot of filtration there.
Not a lot of filtration. It's just, when listeners are trying to get to the bands, it's hard to find the good active ones. And when bands are trying to get seen, there's such a huge level of competition between the bands that it's really difficult. So with five bands per week, we think it's really easy for listeners to digest and figure out what they like. And with the bands, it'll actually get them some real exposure because there's just four other ones that they're up there against.
Okay. Where would the money go specifically? So you're talking about charitable donations. I'm assuming that a portion, does that go to any of the bands at all? And
yeah,
a portion
yeah.
to you guys, and then a portion to charity. So specifically, what's the charity portion?
So the charity portion is no less than 25 cents per song, and we're pricing the songs at $1.25 individually. I say no less than 25 cents per song because it can only go up from there. The bands can choose to donate all or a portion of their proceeds. And also with Five Starving Artists, the way that we're structuring this is, you know, at first we'll be getting 40 cents per song to help us build this program and make it self-sustaining and really grow it. But eventually, as we get more successful, we want to stay true to our principles where we really want to do a lot of good. So we're actually going to scale back what we receive, and more of it will go to charity as we get more successful.
Okay. And do you guys have any particular organizations that you've nailed down as where you want to donate your money to?
Yeah. So right now we're partnered with the charity Feed My Starving Children. Okay. And they're a global outfit. They do work all over the world. Really good work, just feeding children. And, hunger is one of the biggest problems in the world today. I think 1 out of 9 people suffer from hunger in one form or another. So it's just a major problem that we want to try to help out with. But by no means is this the only cause that we're interested in. It's where we're starting. But, if we can get this program really going and off the ground, we see this as a mechanism for helping a lot of different causes. And we kind of have it in mind where we'll do a different weekly or 2 weeks in a row campaign where it'll be dedicated to cancer research or something else, where you buy a song within that week and the donations that we build through that week's sales will go to a specific charity.
Okay. In the last decade or so, there's been a lot of growing trends with social entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. right? So it's entrepreneurship, but there's a social beneficial aspect. So mm-hmm. take, for example, Even Stevens, a couple blocks down this way, they're a sandwich shop that does a match per match of sandwiches okay. that people buy. So why did you guys decide to ensure that you're not only doing something that is kind of building an organization, but also helping others? Why do that when you could just, simply build an organization?
There's a lot of just organizations out there just trying to make money. I mean, obviously the big corporations and the big companies out there, like your iTunes and Bandcamp, those ones, they're out there specifically to make money. But, we're trying to build this. I mean, with the principles behind it of trying to help non-mainstream musicians and trying to do good, do some good things in the world, it really makes sense to have that kind of charitable aspect. We just want to get more involved in these kinds of activities and causes, and this has seemed to be a great way to do it.
Well, if people want to find out where you guys are located or find out if you guys have any events coming up, where can they find out?
Yeah, well, we have a website. It's 5starvingartists.com. Right now we've got quite a few bands signed up, and we're getting ready to go to our 5-band-per-week format.
Awesome. Can you name any particular bands?
Yeah, we've got, just here in Utah, we've got 3 bands signed up right now. We got the Weekenders, which they were the first ones to join us. Rob Reinford over there, he's a great guy. And Advent Horizon's another band that we've got signed up. Johnny K and the Crew is probably one of our higher profile bands that we've got lined out right now. They actually just got the 2014 Best Rock Album Award at the Utah Music Awards. But we've got bands from Utah, California, Colorado, Arizona, Tennessee, North Carolina. We've even got one from the United Kingdom right now. So
nice.
We've got them all over the place. It's grown quickly so far, and we're getting excited for where we're moving forward.
Awesome. And do you have anything else you want to let people know about?
Yeah, so we've got a crowdfunding campaign coming up in April.
Okay.
We don't have the specific date set up yet, but with this campaign, we'll be basically using it to raise awareness and to help us to be able to pay for a professional website where we can have user-friendly streaming and downloading. And it'll be a great way for just spreading the word about this program, seeing who all wants to get involved, bringing in new bands when they see this program on there. So we encourage people to go on our website and sign up for the newsletter, and we'll send updates as we get closer to launching the campaign.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, it's me, Bill Allred, and if you haven't been listening to my podcast, The Let's Go Eat Show, here's some of what you've been missing.
Hope Woodside, Channel 13. You've been on that station for 17 years? That's very unprecedented. You and Bob, you have worked with no other partner, is that correct?
Well, in Bob, previous ever? Jobs.
Well, but I mean here, not, yeah. just
no,
Bob.
No.
Do you hate him yet?
What are you getting?
Download the Let's Go Eat Show now. It's available on iTunes and theletsgoeatshow.com.
Can you tell me a bit about The Weekenders, how you became a band? What was your origin story?
The current band, we've been a band for probably just over 2 years now. This is something that I kind of came up with in 2009. It was just kind of random friends and people coming and leaving, and lots of Craigslist ads and lots of like weird encounters over the years. So there's been a lot of different people that have been a part of the Weekenders, but we've been a solid unit for over 2 years now. I came across kind of the current lineup because I had all these songs. I recorded these songs, and I recorded them all in my spare bedroom. So obviously, there was a lot of work to be done. I didn't know how to record music. You know, I kind of just bought some shit and read some articles and fucked it up. I was like, who's going to fix this? And I was down in Zion for New Year's. This is a bunch of years ago. It's like 2011, mm-hmm. 2010 maybe. I went to this random bar. The local band was great. If you ever get a chance to see them, they're based out of St. George. They're called Eric the Red.
Oh, I've actually heard of them. Yeah, they're pretty good. I think they even played with Fever Dream out there at one point for some reason. So go on.
Yeah, they're great. And I didn't even really want to go to the bar, but everyone I was with was kind of like, oh, it's New Year's, we have to go to a bar. And I was like, I'm just content being in Zion, you know? And so I was kind of expecting some shitty local band, and we paid to get in, and they were fucking awesome. And I ended up chatting with them after the show, and they were like, oh, if you're in Salt Lake, you should go see a guy named Mike Sasich. He has a studio, and he did a great job with our record, yada, yada, yada. So I got his number from Nate, from Eric the Red, and I went to Mike. Mike wanted to mix the record, and then we were done mixing the record, and he was like, can I be a part of the band? And I was like, yeah, of course. I never asked him before because he was in so many bands, and he's like a really good guitar player, so I kind of thought he was out of my league. Yeah, he wanted to join the band, and then that was kind of at the point where the drummer was leaving town, moving away, and at a point where we were going through another bass player, because that's just happened a bunch of times. The drummer came a recommendation from our current drummer, our drummer Sean Thomas, and then the bass player was actually Nate's brother, Nate from Eric the Red. So yes, kind of all just fell into place.
Nice. So how did you guys hear about the organization Five Starving Artists?
Mike reached out to me via email. I wasn't even sure where he was from originally, but then I found out he was based around here. We were just humbled to even be asked to be a part of it, so he kind of gave me a quick rundown of what it was, and I was like, sure, why not? Sounds like a great cause and awesome. Good fit.
So as a band, you know, there are many causes to support out there. So yeah. Why choose like you know, fighting against, you know, hunger alleviation, or hunger insecurity is the term that they use in policy?
Yeah, I mean, there's millions of things to support, but I don't really even think there's that many platforms out there right now where bands can easily link up with somebody who's in that charitable position to support. So bands have a hard enough time supporting themselves. So it's like difficult to think about, oh, okay, what else can we do? Yada yada yada, and how can we do that? Michael came to me, and it just seemed like a really good fit. You know, why support hunger? I mean, we all need to eat. I mean, that's, you know, starvation. There's so many things to support. You know, that's really kind of a root necessity.
Right.
It just makes a lot of sense.
So you guys, like, your last release was in 2012. You guys working on anything new right now?
Yeah, we've had an album pretty much done. We just have to mix it. Scheduling has been difficult to get that done. It should really be any day now. And by any day now, I mean like the record can be done soon, but then it kind of takes time to plan it out. Usually you want to give like 3 months for, you know, promotion and stuff like that. And
right.
They always say, you know, to have like, a certain type of press rollout. So like if the album's done here in the next month, then that means we could probably roll it out in 3 to 4 months. So summertime release.
Awesome. And you guys playing any shows in here soon?
We don't have anything on the books right now, but it's springtime and this is when it all starts coming in. And I'm sure we'll have a gig at the garage here within the next month or two. We play a lot of shows at the Stateroom. Those kind of come as the artists come, so we'll probably be back there again. They've been really supportive to us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to, find out more about you guys or buy your guys' album, where can they go?
We're everywhere on the interwebs, so they could find us at our site, theweekendersmusic.com. They can certainly find us on Facebook and Twitter, and on YouTube. And there's plenty of music and links and videos, and We have some new songs up. We've released a couple singles from the album, so we got two singles up and then a video as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you have anything else you want to talk about at all during the interview that I might have missed?
No, if you can think of something you want to throw out at me, something weird, I'll talk about anything. I could talk about anything from...
You play guitar for the band, right?
I do, yeah.
So why the guitar? Why not the bass?
Oh, that's a really great question. I don't even consider myself a guitar player, really, which is funny. I play guitar in the band. I kind of use it more as a tool to kind of figure out how to write songs. It's kind of like the Billy Madison thing where he's like, he never says he's a golfer, you know? He's like, I'm a hockey player, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I always just tell people I'm a drummer, you know, because... I guess I'm a drummer. But I guess now I'm a guitar player because I wear a guitar on stage and people see me playing it, trying to get through it and hacking it. But I don't really even consider myself a guitar player. I think I just started playing the guitar because I had one for so long and it was easier for me to write songs on guitar than it was on drums. And if you've ever seen me play piano, then you'll know that why I obviously play guitar, because I'm even worse at piano. So it's like, it's hard to, that's just a tool for me to use. It's really just a...
And based on the fact that you said you're not... particularly skilled with the piano, are you preferring rhythm or lead guitar?
You know, I play mostly rhythm in the group, but I don't prefer either one.
You ever thought about doing drums and vocals at the same time?
Huh? I have a mic that I call the PCP mic, mm-hmm. Phil Collins Project. It's like my little... Because it's hard to sing and play. It's not actually hard to sing and play drums, but it's hard to, like, find the microphone when you're playing it, because usually it's on some kind of stupid stand and it's never in the right spot. So I've done it before, and I've used, like, a headset mic, hence PCP, Bill Collins, or a Britney Spears mic, whatever you want to call it. And it's, you know, it's just that. It's a drummer singing. So a lot of people think it's a shtick, but it's like, you're a musician. You're going to play the drums. If you want to sing at the same time, you got to figure out a way to do it. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter at slugsoundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alex Ortega, Christian Schultz, Henry Glashin, and John Ford. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples, our main logo and art design by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colgan. Next week, VCR5 will be in the studio to talk about their latest release as we listen to a couple tracks from it on the show. Thanks for listening.